Talk with George Norrie. Call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Yeah, I ran down to my office, took a look at my Urantia book. There's no E in it, as I had given you. I knew it. It's U-R-A-N-T-I-A. That's it. It's called the Urantia book, U-R-A-N-T-I-A. There is no E. And welcome back to Open Lines. Couple more hours to go. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. My name is Ordeal, and I'm calling you from KLBJ 590 in Austin.
Austin, Texas.
Right. We really enjoyed your talk fest, and I hope you come back and do it again.
I shall be back next year when they do it again.
Thank you, sir. I have a ghost story for you. When I was 9 years old, I'm a product of a military. I'm a military brat. My father was stationed in Fort Ord. He was a drill sergeant.
Oh, tough one, too, probably, huh?
Yes. We were living in L.A., and it was Easter Sunday, and I was supposed to, you know, when you back then, when you were young, you'd have a couple of lines you'd say for Easter services. I only had one suit, so my mother had reminded my father Saturday to make sure that he'd go to the dry cleaners and pick my suit up so I'd have it for Sunday. Well, when I got up Sunday morning, I heard my mother in there yelling at my dad because he had forgotten to pick up my suit. And so she told me that I didn't have a suit and I'd have to just go with some regular pants and a shirt and tie. And it upset me because I wanted to show off my new suit. So I walked out. I walked out to the front porch and was sitting down. Hadn't been sitting there, no more than 15 minutes when I looked up and this white van pulled up and this guy handed me my suit. And I ran in and showed the suit to my mom and dad. And by the time they came outside to pay him and thank him, the guy was gone. So my mother said the first thing she was going to do Monday morning is call the cleaners, find out how much the suit cost, and thank them for doing that because they were closed on Sundays. Well, my mother called the cleaners, and she was talking to, I guess, one of the people that worked there. And after they heard her story, they called the manager in, and the manager asked my mother to repeat that. And she did. And he said, ma'am, that couldn't have happened because the dry cleaners delivery guy had died in a car accident Saturday.
Oh, my God.
But we had the suit. We had the receipt. And it upset my father so bad that he sent us back to Texas while he stayed there in California.
That's a great story. Now, did he die on the job? Or
He died making his deliveries that Saturday.
Your suit was in that van?
It was in that van.
That's incredible.
It really upset the whole neighborhood.
Oh, my God. This guy wanted to deliver the clothes so badly.
I was sitting on the porch and I was upset at my dad and I was praying for my suit and the next thing I looked up and here come this guy in the van. But you know what, it was a strange thing. I don't remember hearing the van pull up or anything. I just looked up and saw the guy and saw him get in the van.
And it was there.
We had the suit and we had the receipt, so.
That's a great story. That's one of the tops. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. How about that? Now, see, that's what it's all about. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Is this me?
It sure is.
Well, good morning to you, Mr. Norrie.
Good morning to you, too, sir. Where are you calling from?
I am from Milwaukee, Wisconsin on 1130.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to share a story that I heard on the radio in between segments of yours.
Okay.
It was a quick news segment that they were putting in a place where you could take your pets and they would grab the stem cells from your pet's DNA, and then once your pet has passed on, they will genetically clone your pet so you could have exactly the same one that you had with the emotional attachment.
There is a company that has already cloned a cat. A woman paid $50,000 for it, and I got into a heated argument with a caller on that because he called her an idiot for doing it. And I said, wait a minute, she loves the animal, it's her money, it's none of your concern. And, you know, if look, I don't know if you would spend $50,000 to get your cloned cat or dog, but you know what? If you had the money and that animal was important to you, I don't see there's anything wrong with it.
That's true, yeah. But there's a new one going up outside of Madison, Wisconsin, so
they will probably get some people in there.
I'm sure they already have names.
I would like to see the price reduced. I think $50,000 is a lot of money, but, you know, if people have it and they want to spend it, so be it.
Yeah, I'd like a pet first, though.
Yeah, get it first before you get the clone, huh?
Well, thank you, George.
Okay, take care.
Have a good.
I still would like a pet dinosaur myself. You know, what you saw the pictures a couple weeks ago from the dinosaur in a cage. Still looks like a toy to me, to tell you the truth, but the mystery continues, I think. Let's see who's next. Our wild card line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, is it me?
Yes.
Hi, George.
Hi.
How are you? This is Lori. I'm calling from Clarkston, Washington.
Hello, Lori.
Listen, I have something that's like, you don't believe in coincidences.
Nope.
And I've been kind of listening to you for a while. And your mom is the same birth sign as my mom.
How do you know my mom's birthday? Wait a minute. Have I ever talked about that?
Wait a minute. You are the same birth sign as my mom. You're Gemini.
I am. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you do. And your dad's the same as me, Taurus.
Right.
And your parents have been married the same amount of years as mine.
Since the beginning of time, I think.
I know. Can you believe that? And your dad is the same age as mine. Your mom's the same age as mine. You were in the Navy. My dad was in the Navy. Isn't that something?
You're my sister.
I know. No. I want to marry you.
Well, you can't discuss these things.
No.
That's the Dr. Laura.
He was in the World War II in the service for 4 years.
Yeah,
in the Navy.
My dad was in the Army. I, of course, was in the Navy, but he saw military action.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad did, too. He was on a ship.
I did not. I had a cushy Navy thing. I never had to face what our soldiers are facing now.
Right.
Tell you what.
How sad what's going on now, I think.
They're heroes. They're heroes.
Yeah, they are. Yep. You bet they are.
Yeah, a lot of synchronicity there, huh?
I thought so.
What do you think? What do you think about Gemini guys, anyway?
I like them.
They have two personalities.
Do they? My mom kind of does, too, but we get along really well.
Yes, they do. No, they don't. Kidding.
They really don't. And I want to say hey to Richard C., and I hope he does the NASA thing.
Richard C. is working
cool.
on his next thing. Yeah, wouldn't that be great to see him in there as NASA?
So he
would
great.
He would be, even though some of, and I know he's listening, he listens all the time.
Oh, I hope so.
Even though some of his theories are way out there, a lot of them are pretty right on the button. He would bring more excitement and more color to NASA than anybody I can imagine. You know, he'd get us excited. Yep, take care.
You too,
all
thanks.
Right. He would get us excited about going to Mars, going back to the moon. I mean, it would be just exciting. Every project that we'd have would be just a great undertaking, and he'd make it all exciting. Kids in school would love him. I mean, in knowing Richard, he'd go from city to city promoting NASA. I think, and that's what an administrator should do, quite frankly. He's got a staff already who does all the work. And what I'm beginning to read about Sean O'Keefe, the former administrator of NASA, he traveled a lot, personally, on your ticket, by the way. Okay, who's up next? Let's go to our evil hotline. Uh-oh, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George?
Yes, sir.
I've got an evil story for you.
You sound like Jimmy Stewart.
Well, who'd you think it was?
Well, what's the story?
It is. Hey, George, it's Jeff in Atlanta.
Hi, Jeff.
Kidding with
you. There you go.
How you been?
You also sound like Alex Jones.
Ah, yeah, he's a character. Very interesting
character. You all sound just like him.
Ah.
Okay, that was a pretty good Jimmy Stewart, though.
Well, thanks, George.
Anyway, what's on the evil hotline?
Well, okay. When I was 12 years old, I had a stepdad who moved us from Georgia out to Colorado and sent me down to the school administration building, had me get a permit for child labor. And I made $60 a month off this paper route, and he made me pay 40 of it in rent.
Oh, no.
I was a good kid, too.
Okay, now let me ask you something. Now that you've grown, how old are you now?
I'm 43.
43. With what he did to you, and I thought, and that could be considered evil, but what did he do to your work ethic and just your understanding of pay as you go and things like that? Did he have an effect on you?
He was brutally sick, George. I do have very good ethics and morals, but it wasn't taught to me by him.
Ah.
He would destroy things that I had bought with my own $20 a month.
He'd smash it, you mean?
Oh, yeah. He'd go into my medicine cabinet and just throw it all out of there. He would sit me down at the table, dining table, for hours and just interrogate me, call me names. And I was being punished, but for no reason.
Who screwed him up?
Probably his dad.
Something happened to him.
I guess. The devil.
Yeah.
You know, because his parents never seemed to be that crass and that, well, evil.
But you know what? You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
The shadow knows.
Yeah, I'm convinced. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Appreciate your story. Well, let's see. I've got such a selection here. What should I do? Sometimes I think I should do this with my eyes closed and just pick one and go, what did I do? Wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George, you picked it with your eyes closed.
I did. That one, I did.
You have excellent remote viewing and sense of direction.
Excellent.
Well, my call is about a report that's been on the television, been on the news, but not widely covered.
Okay, what is it?
Dealing with Marine One. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with Marine One.
No, maybe I've missed this.
George, you're a naval man. Marine One is the helicopter that the president gets onto.
Oh, Marine One.
Marine One.
All right.
All righty. Anyways, the company that should be selling our new helicopter that we're going to be buying with our taxpayers.
Well, we're working with the Europeans now on this, right?
Correct. There's a breaking news story on MSNBC.
What's going on?
That the air show that Iran, as we've heard much from the remote viewers, as our little joke before, seems to have just had an air show where the exact same company, let me see if I'm spelling this right, Finn Machina, I think it's what it's called, I'm not sure if I'm spelling it right, is also doing business with Iran.
How could they do that? Because they're not supposed to.
Well,
This is the European portion.
This is
of
the
it.
European portion.
Yeah, they legally they can do whatever they want.
It makes me wonder if we're being set up into some sort of brokerage deal here.
That is a bizarre story, and that's on MSNBC.
MSNBC.
Under what? How do I find it? Because I'm there now.
Just keywords of Iran, and I would say the Kish Air Show.
All right, let's see. Iran, is K-I-S-C-H?
K-I-S-H. Like a kiss, but with a Henry on the end.
All right, let's see if I can do it. K-I-S-H. See if it comes up. Is an Iranian air crash. We don't want to look for that. European firms display wares in Iran. Is that it?
Your eyes closed.
No, this time I had my eyes open. Okay, I got it. I'll look at it during the break.
All right. Thank you, George.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, during the break. All right. Thank you,
yep,
George.
Turn your radio down, sir. Hello?
West of the Rockies.
On delay, so now any second they'll know it's them. Watch.
Hello?
Yep, see, I told you. Turn your radio down and you're on.
All right, it's off.
Okay, it's your turn. Where are you?
I'm in Reno, Nevada.
You are?
It's in a 780, KOH, I think it is.
KK.
Yeah, so how you doing?
I'm doing great. What's on your mind?
Well, George, you know, I listen to you all the time, and, you know, I come up with an idea on those people that tape all them voices in the graveyards and dungeons and
sure.
different places.
Sure, the EVP sounds.
Yeah. You know what that might just be?
What?
I believe it's maybe people trapped in purgatory that weren't baptized.
Hmm.
You know, did you ever think of that?
Well, they're trapped. They're trapped somewhere. I'll give you that.
Yeah. So another thing, you know, years ago when I was a young man, about 18, I lived in this like rooming house, right? And
right.
I was a pretty bad boy. I got a lot of trouble and stuff. And one night, you know, I was by myself, and I felt my bed felt like it was breathing. And also, you ever heard like two cats fighting real bad?
Oh yeah, that's a horrible sound.
Oh God, I heard that in my room. I mean, it just was horrible. And I felt something scratch me on the back. And I looked up on the wall, and I saw a big shadow of like a bat, like a Batman type shadow. And you know what? That was the day I quit doing drugs.
Good for you.
You know, straightened my life up and got on the way.
If somebody was trying to tell you something before, it would have been too late.
Oh, buddy, I actually felt the scratches on my back. You know, and that was the scariest time of my life, you know. It really scared the heck out of me.
Well, whatever it was, it sets you on a good path.
Well, it did, yeah. It really did, you know. It opened my eyes to a lot.
All right, thanks for the call. It's funny how sometimes things like that will scare the daylights out of you, and then all of a sudden you go down the right path. Let's go to our first-time caller line. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, where are you calling from, sir?
George, I'm calling from Sedona, Arizona. Kazm, K-A-Z-M.
You guys, you've gotten a lot of rain this year, haven't you?
Man, I'll tell you what, it's like the tsunami is here.
I know it, especially in Los Angeles. We're getting real close now to our all-time world's record.
Exactly, it's getting scary with all the landslides and all everything, man. It's just like,
well, everything around here is really sand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not made for a lot of water.
Well, we've been in a 10-year drought out here, so it's like this will help out a lot. But we've had like a lot of flash flooding out here, and just some amazing floods. George, I was just wondering. Yeah, you cleared up that Arantia thing. You're right; it's not spelled.
It's a U. Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
I will admit when I make mistakes.
No, anyway, it was just a reasonable mistake. I was just wondering: are you familiar with a book entitled "Bringers of the Dawn" by Barbara Marciniak?
No, I am not.
Okay. Well, allegedly, she channeled the Pleiadians, and the topic I wanted to speak about was she was talking about the Pleiadians told her that we had 12 strands of DNA a long, long, long time ago, and I guess it was the Greys extracted that from us and took those, like, 5 strands of DNA from us. So we could not be as powerful as we once was. This is like way back in the time of Pan. At that time, we were, according to this, her story, or according to her book, we were able to like transmutate. We were able to teleport. We were able to just dematerialize. We were able to do all those things.
She sounds like she had some pretty good information.
Yeah, and it just, like, dawned on me when I was listening to one of your callers earlier. It's like, yeah, she was talking about the 1111, which is another phenomenon that I want to tell you a quick story about. In 1978, a friend of mine let me stay in his place because I didn't have a place to stay. And this was the first time that I'd been around a digital clock. And the 1111, yes, I saw that more often than any other time. And I thought it was kind of strange at that time.
Yeah.
And I didn't think anything about it until 94. I was living in Vegas, and it started happening again. And I'm like, this is really strange. So I went to, am I allowed to mention the name of a bookstore? I'm not trying to plug it.
No, don't do that, because we only got about 30
seconds. I went to a bookstore in Vegas, and I was just looking around, and all of a sudden something said, look up here. And I looked up, and there was a book entitled 1111. Do you know that?
I've heard of the book. I've never read it.
Okay. Well, it's okay. The author is, can I mention the author?
Oh, sure.
Okay. The author is Solarna. And I just opened the book just randomly, and I opened to this one chapter, and it said, if you were one of those who, during the advent of the digital clock, noticed the 1111, you were one of those who have been pre-encoded and chosen to bring the new energy to this planet.
Absolutely right. And I had her on the show about 2.5 years ago for about an hour as we talked about this one 1111 when it started happening to me. I haven't finished reading that book, but she is pretty darn accurate. Back in a moment.
Subscribe to After Dark. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505. Talk with George Norrie. Call the wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Don't forget Art Bell this weekend, and I'll be back with you on Monday right here on Coast to Coast AM, but we've still got some more open lines, so get ready. It is a great story on MSNBC about European firms displaying their wares in Iran and some of them doing business with us. One company, as he said, helping to build the new presidential helicopter, Marine One, and they're doing work with Iran. I mean, there's something strange here. Doesn't it not seem weird to you that on one hand, as a world, we're trying to just come down on countries, and then on another, we're trying to get them to buy things like this, and we're doing business with some of these companies. European subsidiaries of U.S. companies are doing business with Iran. They were doing business with Iraq when they weren't supposed to, and they get away with it. And it's almost like our government just turns its head when it's convenient. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And these are legitimate, real stories, by the way. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, good morning, George.
Hey, where are you calling from?
I'm outside of Providence, Rhode Island.
Oh, sure.
And, yes, we're listening to you on XM Satellite,
XM.
Which is appropriate, you know, with extraterrestrials and all that good stuff. So. Anyway, yeah, I wanted to comment on the ABC documentary.
Sure.
Which was all right. I kind of share your opinion. I kind of think they did it backwards because they kind of went with, maybe there is something out there in the first half, and then kind of in the second half they kind of brought in the skeptics and everything else. And I think if they switched it, and did the skeptics first, it might have made a bigger impact. But what I really wanted to tell you was the part on sleep paralysis, because I'm sitting here watching this, and they start going into that. And I was, like, shocked because, talk about matching what's been going on with me for the last 6 months exactly. And I had never heard of this before. And so this is, like, the first time I'm hearing it described to, like, the exact detail. And it was I was kind of amazed. And when they brought up the idea that some of these people who experience this sleep paralysis, as they called it, could be abducted, I started just saying, wait a minute, I don't know what to make of that. So,
well, there's no doubt in my mind, most people are suffering from sleep paralysis who think that they've been abducted. I believe that. However, like in the UFO cases where you have that percent of real diehard cases that they can't explain, I think the same is happening to these people. I don't think it's sleep paralysis for them.
Well, I'll tell you, I definitely don't have any kind of memory of going anywhere. I mean, it's just a situation where you see shapes, you're paralyzed, you can't move, you can look around, and you know you're conscious and stuff. But, it's not like I saw any shapes or anything like that. I like to keep an open mind, and so I have to at least, consider the possibility that, something like that does occur, and if there's a connection with, abductions and sleep paralysis, I have to say, wow.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, thanks for your call. Last, let's see, what was happening to me many months ago, you will remember, I was seeing these shadow rodents all over the place, scurrying around the walls, going across roads, and then they stopped, simply went away. Now, these were strange-looking creatures. They looked like opossums, but they had huge antennas sticking out of their head with little tiny balls at the top of their head. Weird creatures, I'll tell you. But I stopped seeing those. But now, old George is beginning to see out of the corner of his eye, and some of you fast blast me if you're seeing this. I am not seeing shadow people, okay? I've just seen those shadow rodents. I've never seen a shadow person. But what I am beginning to see now is actual figures of people. Very quick, less than a second, a blink of an eye, but they are people, they are solid looking, they've got their clothes on, they're not shadows. I mean, you can see their flesh color, and they're there for just like that, and they're gone. And I've seen this now three times in the past 3 weeks, and it's very, very peculiar. And I don't know if any of you are seeing this as well, but I'm not seeing shadow people, never did. But I am seeing this now, and I don't know what that means, because I am pretty intuitive about a lot of things, and I'm now starting to record and register those things because it's happening too frequently. But in this particular case, I'm seeing these very, very weird things of people. And when I say weird, it's because they're really not there, I don't think, but you never know. It's almost as if I'm invading a parallel dimension or universe somehow. But those of you who have fast blast capabilities, let me know. East of the Rockies, welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hi, this is Mike from Pensacola, Florida.
Hello, Mike, where I was stationed for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I talked to you once several months back from the eye of Hurricane Ivan.
I remember that. That was a great phone call, by the way.
Well, thank you. I have an evil experience in my life. And the summer of 1973, I went to a concert on Pensacola Beach,
mm-hmm.
and a streaker ran through the riot or through the
concert,
and it turned into a riot because of the streaker and the police running him down and beating him up real bad. And in this riot, I was staying back out of it, watching what was going on, and I spotted this pregnant girl laying on her back on the ground, and four cops beating her with belly clubs.
Oh, no.
And I fired, there was beer cans lobbing through the air all around and stuff, and I picked up one and fired it in there like a football and hit one of them in the back of the head that was beating this girl. And it caused them to stop beating her. And because of me throwing that beer can, I was chased down and put into the jail on the beach in the same building where this girl was taken.
Yeah.
And that girl had the baby in the beach jail.
You're
while
kidding.
We were sitting there.
Everything okay?
I'd never in my life heard. I spent 2 months in jail before they would let me out because of throwing that beer can, feeling like I was a hero, but I was a criminal.
Well, and what about the charges? Are they still on your record, or are they all gone?
Oh, yes. Assaulting a police officer.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
But,
all right, thanks for the call.
All right.
Appreciate that. Yeah. What do you do about stuff like that? Let's go to our evil hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Lots of evil today. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hi. How you doing tonight?
Good. Thank you.
Oh, good. Doing great. I want to apologize for any background noise. I'm on a cell phone driving a truck down the road.
There you are. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. What I was telling your screener was back in 97, I had started dating this lady, and at the time I didn't know it, that she was involved with witchcraft and Wicca.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the same or not.
No, it's not. Wicca, the people who believe in Wicca are pretty good people. They're darn good people, quite frankly.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people think that they're, you know, witches, brew and stuff. No, they believe in God and everything else. They just have their own different kind of belief.
Yes, sir. Well, I wished I would have stayed around or hung around long enough to find all that out. But I'll tell you what happened. I had been dating this lady for about five, 6 months. And then eventually we had decided that we were going to spend the night with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So our first chance that we got, decided to stay at her place. Now, I had always felt kind of uncomfortable in her place because I was considering just being it's not my home. So, a little uncomfortable. But anyway, the first night that we spent the night together, we were in bed asleep. And I had noticed, one of my fears was I was going to snore too loud or something like that. And I noticed that her breathing got real, real low, just real, real calm, almost. I kind of questioned if she was still breathing.
That scared you, I bet.
Yes, sir, it did.
Yeah.
Well, I drive a truck for a living, and I was tired, and I was trying to contribute some fatigue. But anyway, I had rolled over to get up. I was kind of dry. My throat was kind of dry. And I seen someone standing at the foot of the bed.
Oh.
And I looked, I had to wait a minute, let my eyes adjust, because at first it was just a silhouette. When I looked, it looked just like my girlfriend. The lady looked just like her from what I could see in the light from the street light.
Who was obviously still in bed, right?
Was right beside me. So I was scared. I hate to admit that, but I was scared, but I got up and went ahead and got me a drink of water, and I thought, well, it's just fatigue. While I was in the kitchen getting a drink of water, the hall light clicked on for the bathroom, or the bathroom light clicked on, and you could see it shining through the hallway. Well, as I passed by, I seen her standing in the bathroom, standing at the sink. Well, I stopped just to see if she was okay, and when she turned around and looked at me, it was my girlfriend, but it wasn't. The lady I was looking at had solid black eyes. Almost no color, which made me lose. I know it had to make me lose my color because I just felt the blood just run out of me.
Did she try to attack you?
No, sir. She didn't say a word. I didn't say a word. I was scared. This is terrible. I mean, I was scared to move, really. We just stood and stared at each other for a minute, and I started to ask her, was she okay? And I thought, I'm going to bed.
How could you do that? I'd be hightailing it out of there.
Well, I mean, I've seen things on the road before at night, especially when I'm tired. I always see silhouettes of trees and stuff like that, and it's just, I always contribute to fatigue. And I was, you know, I could have been having a bad dream for all I know.
Well, you never know. Hey, thanks for the call. I think what I may do next week, remind me, guys, is a trucker's hotline, because they hear and see all kinds of things out there. Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yeah, hi.
This is Josh calling from Modesto.
Hey, Josh, what's going on?
Oh, not too much. I wanted to call and let you know about a little Ouija story I had at one time.
A little Ouija board story.
A Ouija board story, yes, sir.
Okay.
There's a friend of mine by the name of Nora. She claimed to be a white witch. And she wanted to show me, my brother, and a friend of ours what she could do with the Ouija board. So she had invited us to her trailer out back behind her house.
Uh-huh.
And it was real dark, you know. And she set some candles up. And we used the Ouija board for a little while. And all of a sudden, she stopped. And she looked at us, and she told all three of us, look right into my eyes, right in my face. We said, okay. And before you knew it, George, her face started to change.
To what?
It changed to a male. Like, almost like Hitler. It wasn't Hitler, but it looked a lot like Hitler. Little mustache. It changed it to another female with long hair. And she had short hair, and it turned to, like, a long blonde hair. She turned into a green witch, George. I'm not joking you. It was straight out of the fairy tales, man. The long chin, the long nose, everything. I mean, it was unbelievable.
And all of you saw this?
That's what, yeah. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was sitting there looking at this, thinking, I can't be seeing it. This isn't real. You know, so I thought, I'm not going to say nothing. I'm going to see what my brother and my friends say. I look over at them, and sure enough, they said, did you see that? She turned into a witch, and she turned into a guy, and that's when I couldn't believe it, George.
And you guys sat through this? Why didn't you get out of there?
You know, as I felt pretty calm, you know. I had my brother there with me, and this lady we've known for a long time. You know, I had a lot of trust in her, and I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. You know, but what really got to me, George, was she said, look at the back of my trailer. So we did, and it was pitch black back there. You could see the hundreds of little orbs of light circling around in the dark. And she said, let's go back there. Those are spirits. She said, you're actually seeing spirits. And she said, let's go back there. And now that's when I got scared, George. I looked at my brother, and I was thinking, I don't know. You know, if they go back there, maybe I'll follow them. But I'm not going back there first.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, it was a little nerve-wracking, you know. But they did go back there, and I followed them back in there. And there was a bed on either side. And she said, go ahead and have a seat. So we did. And she told the spirits to say hello to us.
Hello?
Yeah, literally told those spirits to say hello to us.
How does a spirit say hello?
It was like a whisper in your ear. I don't know if you're familiar with the ear test that you take in school, like in elementary school.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and those little beeps.
Exactly, yeah. And every once in a while you think, am I hearing a beep? Or is that just my mind telling me I'm hearing a beep?
But was she a nice lady?
Oh, she was absolutely a wonderful lady, George. I mean, you know, she was a...
She didn't turn you into gingerbread or anything, did you?
No gingerbread. But, yeah, something else, man. The spirits really did say hello. And like I said, I was questioning myself the whole time, thinking, am I hearing this, or are these actually spirits talking to me? You know, and like I say, George, is so such a strange experience, you know. And then she asked us if we wanted to see the spirit world. And, told us to lay back on the bed and close our eyes, but before we did, she said, whatever you guys do, though, whatever you do, do not ask to be taken to the other side. And that's what really made me nervous, you know, and I thought, well, geez, you know, I'm not going to go through all this.
She sounds like she knew what she was talking about.
She really did. She really did. Now, the only thing was that that's the one thing I was too reluctant to do. I laid back like she told us to, but I didn't close my eyes like she asked us to. And I was watching her in the dark. I didn't think she would be able to see my eyes open. And I could see her waving her hands over the top of us and everything. And eventually she sat back down on the bed across from us. And I'm just kind of laying there, you know, thinking, okay, what's going on? Nobody's saying nothing. And all of a sudden she yells my brother's name, Jake! You know, we all jump up. What's going on? What's going on? And she looked at my brother and said, you asked him, didn't you? He said, oh, I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it.
Oh, she knew that?
That's what we said. We said, how did you know? She said, I could see some kind of red streak or fog come down over the top of him. And that's when she knew that he had asked him.
Is this lady still alive?
Yeah, she's still alive. I talked to her a couple years ago on about the 4th of July.
Still doing what she does?
No. She's now a Christian lady. She's absolutely devoted her life to God.
She's given up all of that?
Yeah, as far as I know, yeah. I mean, it was it's kind of, just, I don't know if it was one of those phases or what the deal was, but I mean, she was for real. I used to tell friends about this, and nobody would ever believe me. And they had one friend come over, and I asked her to show him, and this was fine. It was the daytime. It was light outside. And she did the same exact thing again with the face changing. And it was the same set of faces, the same gentleman, the same lady, the same, you know, like a fairy tale witch. You know, and he couldn't believe what he was seeing either.
You sometimes wonder what made her change, though, to at least go into the light, so to speak. I wonder what kind of events happened to her where she said enough is enough. I'm not going to do this anymore. I bet it was something that was pretty darn tragic, I'll tell you that. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hi, huh?
My name is Margo, and I live in New Mexico, and I have a Roswell story.
Okay, Margo.
In 1996, I was driving to Roswell, and I got lost, and I got pulled over and got a ticket, which was all right because I was lost, and they put me on the right path and told me, you know, go down this one road, and when you get to the end, you either turn left and you go to Roswell, which is about 38 miles, or you go the other way to Vaughan. And straight ahead is just this field and a big sign with an arrow pointing either way you could turn. And I came to that point, and somehow my car got on the other side of that sign and was facing the direction I was coming from. It was probably about 200 feet out in the field. No marks on the road, no marks in the dirt.
And you don't remember how it happened?
Well, I lost 7 hours because it was like 5:30 when I should have come to that point. And I came to about midnight, 12:30, out in the middle of this field. And I was like mad because I was waiting for someone. And I was like, well, I'm leaving. And I went to start my car and it wouldn't start. And that's when I realized that, well,
Do you think you were abducted?
I don't know what to think. I don't know what to think because, for one thing, my car should have bounced off the sign that's right there in front of it. It was huge, like, steel sign.
Well, you know, sometimes I don't know how you lost 7 hours. I mean, sometimes when you drive, you lose time because your mind goes from one place to another. But in this particular case, 7 hours? Well, something had to happen. I'll tell you that. Hey, we've got a break for the top of the hour. I'll be back in a moment.
When I watch the cars, I fear I'll do some damage one fine day. But I would not be convicted by jury of my peers. Still crazy after all.